Praise the Lord. It's the word of the day. Today is Thursday. I had to think about it for a while. For a moment, let me adjust my camera. For a moment, I was unsure. Thursday. Praise God. Listen, I want to make a quick announcement prior to getting into the word of the day. And that is, if you find yourself interested, piqued in your interest, passionate, confused, wanting to learn more about the prophetic ministry, or prayer, you feel like you have a burden to pray, you have an unusual capacity for prayer, you see God's need for you to pray about things, intercession, watchmen, if these are terms that interest you, if you want to grow and develop in your experience in the prophetic ministry or in prayer ministry, we are pre-registering for a course that will answer so many of your questions about dreams and visions, about the foundations of prophetic protocols, questions about prayer, the prayer room of a prophet. What is a watchman? What is an intercessor? The keys to carrying the burden of the Lord. All manner of topics will be covered in this course. It will be mainly in person. I'm stressing in person. I am assigned by the Lord to build, develop, and equip prophets, prayer warriors, intercessors, and watchmen in our area of the Triad in Greensboro, North Carolina. However, I will be doing these live as well online. And so as much as I'm emphasizing in person, I do feel the burden of the Lord to make this available to those who cannot be there any other way, whether you don't live near us or you just have strains on your schedule where you can't leave home in the evenings. I want to encourage you to pre-register for this course, God's Voice. We want to know God's voice. We want to be God's voice. And so if you're interested at all in that, I want you to text the word prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, text the word prophecy to 55498. Text the word prophecy to 55498. You can also email me at mail@faithfireworldwide.com. I'm putting this in the chat right now in case you want to, if you're watching us on Facebook, you can get this information right now. I'm going to put it in the chat. I'm typing it right now. And all right. All right. Praise God. All right. You will get a link in return to texting the word prophecy to 55498. All right. So with that said, actually, I can just do it here and it'll go to all of the platforms and register for the prophecy and prayer course. And if you're listening to us on our podcast, just bear with me. I'm going to get to the word of the Lord right now. Amen. Amen. Okay. So the word of the Lord today is, and I'm always excited about the word. If you've ever watched anything that I've ever done in the past, you know that I'm always excited about the word of the Lord. So that goes without saying. But what I want to say to you today is, I'm especially excited because this is going to answer so many of your questions. So many of you have been waiting for God to answer prayers. So many have been waiting for healing. So many have been waiting for deliverance. So many have been waiting for all manner of things. And God has an answer for you today. God has an answer for you today. He's going to explain to you why the wait has been so long. And he's going to explain to you the power of desperation. So we're in the year of the door. We're in the year of the door. The year of the door of humility, the year of the door of surrender. I've been prophesying about this. And so the Lord daily has been giving me further insights and let's call them keys to entering through these divine doors of blessing, whether it's a blessing of healing, a blessing of deliverance, a blessing of elevation in ministry, promotion, a blessing of having release into your financial life, strategy, vision, whatever the case may be, an expansion. God has an expansion for you. And the Lord today is saying to you, ask. The Lord spoke to my spirit and said, tell the people, ask. And that doesn't mean you stop asking. It's the Lord inviting you to ask with desperation. So let me tell you what the vision of the Lord was. Had this vision in prayer this morning of a man who was desperate to get to God. This man was old, gray-haired, and he was disabled, could not walk on his own. I knew by the Spirit that he was wheelchair-bound and had been in that state for years and years, and his family members were lifting him into a van to get him to Jesus Christ. And the Lord began to minister to me about the heart of the desperate. The Spirit of the Lord is looking for the desperate, the hungry. And I've got a word for you today. God says, ask. God says, ask. Somebody needs to type right now or to just say it out loud. God says, ask. Type it. Say it. God says, ask. Share this word, because there are countless untold number of people, a measure of people that we cannot number, who have been standing on the word, asking God for something, and they have not been able to understand why they haven't seen the manifestation. And so the Lord came and sent me to expose a kingdom principle in a new, fresh way, so you can understand how God wants you to enter into that which you've been asking for. And so the Lord showed me in the vision of God this man who was desperate for healing, but he was most desperate for Jesus. He was leaving behind everything for Christ Jesus. Even if Jesus did not heal this man, he wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible. And he had stirred up his family. He was saying, I have to get to Jesus. Get me there by any means necessary. God is building inside of you a desperation to leave everything that you've ever known behind so that you can come to him, not to his blessing. This is a word of God for you. Yes, the Lord says to you, ask, but I want to read the scriptures to you, and I pray for a fresh revelation, a fresh wind. Type the word ask right now. Ask with an exclamation point. God is asking you to ask. Luke 11, verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? What he's saying is, he gives you what you need. If you can get what you need from a wicked father, you can get what you need from the heavenly father. He says, or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? I came to stir up your spirit today. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yesterday, or maybe a couple of days ago, the word of the Lord had to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said to you, you cannot fulfill the Great Commission in your life without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues. You can get tongues and not be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm saying the baptism, that all-consuming fire. Jesus said, I came to baptize you in the Spirit. He said, John baptized with water. John the Baptist himself said, I baptize with water, but there is one who comes after me whose sandal I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you in the Spirit and fire. God is answering the prayers of the desperate for fire. They want Jesus. They want Jesus. They want Jesus. Can it be that my idolatry is my desire to be healed? Could it be that my idolatry is my desire to be set free? I'm more concerned about being set free than being obedient and surrendered to Jesus Christ. And so God does not answer prayer because we ask amiss. I'm going to get to it in just a second. But what I want to focus on right now, and I'm getting so excited in the Spirit of God, is the goodness of the Father. He says, if you ask for bread, if you ask for a serpent, if you ask for an egg, what will a good father do? I'm a good father, and I do better than even the best of you, and I will give you what you need. You need to ask for the right thing. Glory to God. You need to ask for the right thing with the right spirit in the vision of God. This was hungry for Christ. He had been disabled who knows how long. And it wasn't about his healing. He wanted to get to Christ. He wanted to get to Jesus. He wanted to be touched by the Lord. He just wanted to be near Jesus, even if he didn't get healed. Somebody needs to hear this. This man was leaving a life of stagnation. It wasn't that he hadn't been praying for healing, but he had been stagnant in his faith. He wasn't trusting God. He wanted to be healed more than he wanted Jesus. Somebody needs to hear the Spirit of God this morning. God is checking our motives. God wants you to be healed, absolutely. But before he wants you healed, he wants you to have him. He wants you to have him. What did they do in Mark chapter 2? I'm going to paraphrase. I was going to read it. They heard that Jesus was in the house. Come on. They heard the report in Capernaum that Jesus was in the house. Come on. Somebody type, Jesus is in the house. Right now, Jesus is in the house. Right now, Jesus is available. Right now, if you're saved, he's in your vessel. He is your temple of the Holy Ghost. He's in you right now. Jesus is in the house. They heard he was in the house. They had a friend who was paralyzed, and they said, we got to get into the house. The house was full, and they couldn't find way in. They couldn't go through the natural door. Come on. Spirit of the living God, preach. They could not go in the natural door to get to Christ Jesus. So they had to make and press their way through another door in order to reach Christ. What did they do? They desperately climbed up to the roof of the house where Jesus was because they had to get to Jesus. The friends of the man had to get to him. It wasn't just the paralytic, it was his friends. His hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ had impacted his friends, and they all came together. Why? To see Christ. And it wasn't because they just wanted the healing. They knew they wanted the one. There's only one that can do what needs to be done. There's only one whose report comes and he's pure and holy. There's only one, and they had to get to the one. What did they do? They cut open a hole in somebody else's house in order to get the paralytic down to Jesus. They lowered the man through the ceiling of the house and dropped him in front of Christ. That is the desperation that Jesus is looking for in this hour. And Jesus, it says in Mark 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, oh, it's faith that pleases the Lord. And so the answer to someone today, I'm prophesying into your spirit, the answer to your question of why, Lord, why have I not seen the answer to my prayer? It might be because you've not been praying for him. You've been praying for what he has. And Jesus has the key to you opening the divine door, the unseen door to getting what you ask is going straight to him, coming to him. And he sees your faith in him, not what he can do. Jesus desperately wants you to know him. They heard he was in the house. They climbed up to the roof of the house. They busted through the roof and lowered the paralytic man. He couldn't get there on his own, but it was his lame condition. It was the condition where he could not help himself that actually stirred up the fire and the hunger to get to Jesus. Could it be that your desperation, could it be that your situation is a setup for you to come to Christ Jesus, to see him for who he really is, and to receive that which you ask for? God is inviting you to ask, but he's inviting you to ask and ask and ask and ask again and again and again. Type ask, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. He doesn't say just ask one time. He bears long with us, it says in Luke 18, but he will answer us speedily. There's not a moment that will go by that the Lord will wait to bless you once you have gotten to a place where he knows he's transformed your thinking. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and they shall be filled. Listen to what the word of the Lord is for you. The Lord told me to tell you, and I wrote this down in prayer this morning because he kept saying it to me over and over and over. God says, I satisfy the hungry. Come on. I satisfy the hungry soul. He kept saying it to me in prayer. Frank, tell him, I satisfy the hungry. Oh, I satisfy the hungry soul. God is building inside of you a desperation, a hunger, and a thirst for Him, so that when you get what you ask for, you won't turn away. How many did Jesus heal that never showed up at the cross? How many did Jesus heal and they never came back to follow Him? How many did Jesus heal? Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one came back. Come on. God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is not enough to be saved. God wants you to be a follower. He wants you to be a witness, and He wants the kingdom of God to be preached through your life. And so He wants to bring you to the end of yourself and bring you into this lame, paralyzed condition and wrestle with you until you give in to Him and you see Him for who He truly is. And that is, He is the only one that can satisfy your hungry soul. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Oh, how good you are, God. He satisfies the longing soul and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, can we go to the altar and cry out to our Savior and say, "Give me Jesus. I just want Jesus." That's what God's doing. He's looking to satisfy your soul, not your need. Come on. He doesn't just want to give you finances. He doesn't just want to give you friendships and healed relationships and restored brokenness in your life. He wants to satisfy your longing soul and feed your hungry soul with goodness. It's about your soul. He says, "I want you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." This is the word of the Lord to you today. Ask, says the Lord. Ask. And keep asking until you can't stand it anymore. And you got to start telling people, "I just need Jesus." What is your testimony? Are you still telling the doctors the same old story? Or are you at the point where it's like, "Oh, it's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. I've just got to see Him." Here's the thing that Jesus taught me in prayer this morning that I've got to share with you about prayer and asking of God. It's not just about what you're hungry for. It's about what you're leaving behind. It's about what are you willing to give up? The better question is, what are you not willing to give up? If there's a thing or a person that you're not willing to give up, God wants it. He wants it. Somebody wants to get healed from smoking cigarettes, but you won't stop buying them. Somebody wants to get healed from diabetes, but you won't stop eating the wrong thing. It's about, what are you willing to stop? What are you desperate enough to leave behind for Christ Jesus? Oh, this is a hard word, but it's a word of truth, and it's a word that will set you free. When you're hungry for Jesus and it's really just about Him, it's really repentance. Repentance is turning away from all other loves. Oh, He wants to be your first love. Jesus took issue with a church in Revelation because they left their first love. He says, "You're doing all these great things, but I have one thing against you. You've left your first love." They were doing wondrous things in Jesus's name, but His main priority was, "I want your heart." You're leaving behind fear. You're leaving behind comfort. That doesn't mean you're healing yourself of fear. It's just saying, "God, I'm now delivering it to You. I am now giving it away because I need You. This fear is standing between us, and I've got to get to Jesus." How desperate are you? Is your dignity, is your reputation so big and important that you can't leave it behind for Jesus Christ? He died on a cross for your sins, and you didn't even deserve. He left heaven and came down in the form of a man and didn't consider it robbery that He was equal with God. That's the heart of Jesus that He wants to put inside of you. Some of us are not receiving because we've not yet come to the point where we're asking with the heart of Christ. Some of us are not asking at all. What does it say in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 2? You lust and do not have. Some of us have a lust and it's an idol. And so the thing we've been asking for is not coming because the lust in our life is actually more important to us than Christ. And so you've got to give up some stuff. It says you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You cannot obtain what you're asking for. I'm not here to criticize you. I'm telling you this because God's saying, I want you to be so desperate. You begin to confess these things. You become transparent and tell people. You begin to tell people, I need prayer. I need help. You begin to say, I'm not going to hide this iniquity anymore. You're not going to let anything get in the way of Jesus. The people who got healed, the person who was lowered down, the paralytic, did not care what people thought about him being in a bed, being let down through a ceiling. He didn't care about disrupting the worship meeting. Somebody hear the Lord. He did not care about disrupting the worship meeting. He had to get to Christ. He did not care about disrupting the culture. He needed to get to Christ. He wasn't concerned about whether or not the church standard was not raising your hands in worship. He wasn't concerned about the church standard of not running around the room. He wasn't concerned about the church culture that says you don't speak out loud in the service. He wasn't concerned about the church culture that says you don't pray in tongues. He wasn't concerned about the church culture that says that you cannot speak to God out loud in church. He wanted to get to Jesus. He wasn't concerned about his reputation. The whole community knew his name. He's in Capernaum. Everyone knew he was a paralytic. Everyone knew. Everyone had been judging him his whole life. They had been telling him it was his fault. They thought it was his father or his parents or ancestors' fault that he was paralyzed. And he didn't care what people think. He had to come to Jesus and to ask Jesus in his presence to give him the healing because he had to get to Christ. It wasn't enough to pray anymore. He needed to get to Jesus and his dignity fell to the wayside. There's a part of you that is trying to keep your dignity and comfort and you've got to kill that flesh. Say, all I need is Christ. I'm here to deliver the word of the Lord. Jesus did not heal everybody. Listen to the Spirit of God. He healed those who came to him. Jesus did not go around the entire country just laying hands on every single person and then rose from the dead on the third day and every single person in Israel was healed. No, he was in Galilee. He was among the rejected, the lame, the broken, the people that had been judged, those that everyone said were unholy. A lot of them were immigrants. Most of them were poor, impoverished. They lacked a lot. But he was around the desperate because he knew the desperate had faith. He knew the desperate, when given an opportunity, were not going to be so caught up in religious mantras. They weren't going to be so caught up in political gain. They weren't going to be so caught up in what people's opinions were. They just wanted God. They wanted the true and living God. They wanted to experience the real God, and he was willing to give it to them. Your hunger is your faith. The manifestation of faith is a hunger for seeing God. And that is what God responds to. He responds to faith. That paralytic got healed after Jesus said, I see your faith. And he said, your sins are forgiven. The same desperate faith you had when you got saved, that same desperation you had not to go to hell, that same desperation you had to be assured of your eternal stock, your eternal inheritance, that same desperation you had to leave a life that was marked for death, that same desperation you had to find life in Christ, that same desperation for you to put faith in a gospel that you didn't even fully understand. You just knew you were a sinner and you needed somebody to save you. And in the same fashion, the Lord wants that faith alive in you every single day. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. The first thing he did was saved him from his sins when he saw his faith. And then he saved him from his physical condition. It's the same faith that operates. But we lose our desperation for Jesus after we get comfortable with salvation and the idea that, oh, grace will handle it all. No. Where's your faith? Grace works. Absolutely. There's favor. There's mercy for you, but there are things that only are attained by faith and a desperate pressing into the kingdom of God. And I'm here to announce to you, God says, ask. God says, ask. Isaiah 55, It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He is the one who leads you beside still waters. That's the river of life. It's Jesus. It's the Spirit of God. He says, and you who have no money, you poor people, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine. That's the Spirit of God. And milk. Come on, that's the Word of God. Without money and without price, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? He's talking about that lust that can be so subtle. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. He's saying, eat my flesh and let your soul delight itself in abundance. It's the soul he's after. Incline your ear. That means your job is to incline yourself to hear what the Lord is saying. Your job is to position yourself to receive. Your job is to press. Your job is to put your ear on the bosom of the Lord. Your job is to seek what he's doing and come to me. Hear, he's impressing upon me to tell you to listen. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, the promises of God, and yes, are yes and amen, but they are accessed by faith. Allow Jesus himself to be your satisfaction. I'm going to read this one last verse, this verse one more time rather, that we read earlier. Psalm 107 verse 9. Jesus, this is talking about our Lord. This is talking about our Father. This is talking about Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who is with you, the Parakletos, the one that walks with you. He's alongside you right now. He's in you. He's with you. He's for you. He's behind you. He's ahead of you. He's next to you. He's above you and beneath you. He's everywhere you are. And he is the one, it says in Psalm 107 verse 9, he satisfies the longing soul. Is your soul longing? And what is it longing for? What is it longing to replace Jesus with? Push that thing out of the way and just go just radically after Jesus Christ. The culture will tell you you're crazy. I gotta tell you, the paralytic man who was lowered from the roof, everyone in the room thought he was crazy. I guarantee you, the people thought Jesus was crazy. The Bible says that his own brothers and mother came to him while he was in the house, and they thought that he was beside himself. They thought he was crazy, and they told him to come out of the house. They did not understand. He said, I need to be about my father's business at a 12-year-old, and they didn't expect to find him in the temple when they were on their way back home. He was desperate to be with his father, and they did not understand. Why have we been looking for you for these days, and you haven't said anything? And he was willing to be looked upon and frowned upon in a way that people could not understand, because he had to be with his father. And the Lord says he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. They who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. Ask and you will receive. The Bible says you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And he says you do not have because you do not ask. Today, the Lord is releasing you to ask and ask and ask and allow him to show you why what you're asking for has not come. There is something you've not left behind. Elisha killed, oh God, he was plowing ground when Elijah came and threw his mantle on him. And Elisha killed the oxen that he was using to do his natural work. And he forfeited his life to follow after Elijah. He had to be with Elijah. He forfeited his life. The Lord says, no man is fit for the kingdom who puts his hand up to the plow and looks back. God, Lot's wife, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was expelled from Sodom and Gomorrah before its destruction and still longed for her home. That was the manifestation of wickedness. She still had a heart that longed for wickedness. It was familiar. And when she turned around, she became a pillar of salt and could not continue her journey. She forfeited the life that was available to her because she could not give up the wicked thing. I'm declaring over your life now that you will leave everything for Jesus today. Somebody needs to declare, I'm leaving everything for Jesus today. I'm leaving every wicked thing, every lust, every desire. I don't even know how it's going to work. It's just my heart's desire. I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect, but I'm going to put it on the altar. I'm going to start calling some friends and telling them I can't live like this anymore. I've got to expose some stuff. And I'm telling you, God's going to honor your hunger. He says, ask, 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 ask. Ask. The woman who wore out the judge in Luke 18 got awarded what she was asking for because she wearied the judge. She would not stop asking. She was so desperate. She knew that what she asked for was hers, and she wouldn't stop asking. And she would not let that judge that stood in the way to keep her from receiving what she knew was hers. Don't let anything stand in your way so that you can get to Jesus. Father, in the name of the Lord, I speak the fire of God on your people. I speak hunger and thirst after righteousness. I speak a desire to be in the fullness of your will and word in Jesus' name. And we pray in that name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I have to go now. We'll be back tomorrow with another word of the day. And if you're interested in our prophetic and prayer training, text the word prophecy to 55498. Text the word prophecy to 55498. May the Lord bless you. I can't wait to see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.